Okay, let's talk about your years as the chair. Some questions I have to do with faculty hires, strategies we have for doing that, issues you might have had with the administration,
Well,
how those were worked through.
between Wendell Holiday and later out of the Vogelin, with whom I didn't really work, I had very good relationships with Wendell. Wendell was a person who realized, and I believe all department chairmen knew this, the goals of a department, was able to enter into those goals vis-a-vis what might be the administration's goals, that particularly where they might diverge. And he always worked with me on those issues and gave me tremendous freedom. He would present me with a total amount of money that was going to be available, and I was able to sit down and tell him how I would like to have this administered in the department. That, by the time I was finished, that was going already, when Nick Hobbs took over and called us all in and said, "That's the end of that. We're going to do everything line by line." And so that was the way it became afterwards. That was not terribly bad. I
When did
mean,
Hobbs come in?
oh, I don't, he became provost probably, you better look this up, but I was chairman for 5 years, and he came in toward the very end of
Okay.
that period of time.
7-4-ish.
So yeah, that would be about then. You'd have to check that out.
Okay.
And I think
I should
that's
know.
right. Yeah, well, I don't. I don't really know. But Wendell was terrific. And you know the story with Bransford.
Well, I know there was lots of Bransford stories,
Well,
but
this is a key story. There was a side of Wendell that didn't come through immediately. But we had gotten Jeff Franks, and we considered that a real coup. And to make the, well, it was my goal to obviously get the very best that I could persuade to come to the department. They had Bransford and Franks at that time, who were, I think, seen throughout the country as two of the brightest guys in the cognitive area. And to land both of them would have been just terrific and would have helped build that program in our department tremendously. And put that together with you already there, and we have a really good, strong department, aspect of that department. So, but we couldn't get Bransford. Bransford just was not as easily persuaded as Frank. And finally it got down to the point where Bransford wanted to bring his girlfriend. You know this story.
Well, yeah, back to Franks. Franks came in 70, right?
Well, now I don't remember the
So it
years.
was before you became chair, Franks?
Franks was probably brought in
So
before the.
he was already there when you got
Yeah,
chair. So
that's
you
right.
wanted to get Franks in, okay. All right.
That's right, yeah.
Now, John's girlfriend?
Well, John wanted to see if he couldn't rig up a teaching assistantship for his girlfriend to bring her along. And that was, I forget, 2,400, something about that amount of money. And I went to Wendell, I said, "Look, Bransford wants to come, but he has this student that he would like to bring along, and she needs to, we need to find an assistantship or something that was not in the budget." And he kind of leaned back and looked up in the air. He said, "Well, I guess we can find 2,400 for Bransford's mistress." We both kind of had a chuckle, and he found the money, and Bransford came. Now, that's a dean for you.
That's a dean.
Yes.
That's a workable dean. That's
Yeah.
cooperation.
Yeah, that's cooperation. So we did well on that.
We worked that out.
Yeah. And Hans, of course, had come years before. He's, what, 65? They've been around 66.
66.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was the, during the hiring of Bransford, was the appeal to the Equal Opportunity, the Commission on Discrimination, that the suit that was brought against us during what
Oh,
I
yes.
was
Oh, that was during that time.
chairman. Yes, it
Yes.
sure was. And in fact, that was the thing that wore me out and said, "I really need to get out of this chairmanship. I don't want any part of this anymore."
Oh, yeah.
And as you, the thing that went on
Who was
there,
that?
it was Connor. Connors,
Jane
or
Connor.
Jay Connor, yeah.
Bill Connor's wife.
Yeah. And what was so interesting about that is that she was not pursuing the fact that she was being denied the role, that she realized that Bransford was another caliber person already in the field.
She was ready to admit that, but that still wasn't, it didn't diminish her argument, she thought.
And her argument was exactly right, because what was happening is that as we were getting the applications in, we would have a woman that would say number three on the three that we were going to look at, and another application would come in, and that woman would be kicked off and a man put in. And that happened at least twice from the committee that was working on this. And that is what she brought up.
Well, I also remember she brought up the fact that, I remember this because I wrote the letter, one of the letters that she brought up, was that I said we wanted the best man for the job.
I don't even remember that part.
You know, meaning personary.
Yeah, I know, of course.
But that's not the way it was received. But that was
Well, those are the beginning of political correctness, you might say.
Exactly.
Is
right.
How to do that. But I think she could point out to the fact that during the search sequence, we had actually kicked off women and not invited them. And so the investigator on this, while I was sitting there in the meeting with representatives from the administration and the EOP guy, he said, well, you know, if you never invite a woman down, you're never going to have a woman on the faculty. And how do you answer that? So what the university did is they paid Jane $5,000, and that was the end of it.
Was it only $5,000?
Yeah, I think that's what that's the figure that I got. I don't think it was any more than that. And her husband had already gotten a job at Binghamton. And so she went off, and I think she got some sort of a job there, too. But as I recall, it was $5,000. You might want to check that out. But that really wore me out because, you know, I had to agree with the fact that we were not ever inviting a woman to come down. And at the same time, it was very hard to rationalize that position, especially when he said, if you never invite a woman, you're never going to hire a woman.
Right.
So we finally agreed to that sort of a settlement. The university agreed to reimburse her, and also that would not happen again, obviously. Mm-hmm. So what happened immediately after that, we had Emily Davidson came in, we had some other, another young woman. What was her name? Like, she was very
good. Were you chair when Emily came in?
I'm not sure. It was between 19, I don't really remember if I was still chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was part of the story.
Yeah. There was another woman in the department at that time, the huskier woman. And do you have some names there for me to remember yet? She was not there for so long. But
that's kind of why I'm talking to you.
Yeah, gosh, you know, I see her, but I can't put a name on her now. But we did. We found some women in the department. Right now, I believe we have some excellent women in the department. First rate.
Any other hires at that time?
I don't remember.
Bill and Jane were hired before you were chair?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It might be possible he came in while I was chair. I know that he just evidently did not turn out very well, really. He was not publishing. He was having a hard time even submitting things. Mm-hmm. And he just really couldn't put things together. And he just And also, there's also the issue of how are you doing with the students?
Right.
He wasn't.
We can always come back to your years as chair, but I'm also interested in your sense of the eminence of our clinical products, students that we produced, kind of stories or memories you have about some of them.
Well, I had some really terrific students. Rick Snyder, among one of the very best at the top. That's one name that stands out. Very talented boy. And a hard worker, a teller who's done extremely well up in Kansas. A top man. Top teaching awards, top research awards, and he's also a pretty good artist. Up on the wall there, I'll show you one of the sketches he gave me as a present when he left. He stands out. And then there's the issue of the taping of our faculty meeting, which Hans may have talked to you about too. And I was chairman during that time, I believe. I know that Hans was very dissatisfied with me because I wouldn't take really vigorous action and kick those students out of the department.
Really?
He was very angry.
He thought that was a serious offense.
Well, it is a serious offense, yeah. I mean, but at the same time, it was not, I felt that we weren't going to, I didn't feel that was an appropriate punishment for outstanding students. They were outstanding students, so they were Hans.
And their names were.
Okay, now I don't remember those. And one of them I do.
For the listening audience.
Yes, yeah. One of them is a very well-known fellow who was in Hans's group, and I don't remember.
Rob Levinson.
Levinson, yes.
Do you know he was president of the American Psychological Society last year?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now at Berkeley.
Yes.
So we tried to hire him before he went there. From there.
Oh, I do remember. Much later on, there was an attempt to hire him.
Yes.
And he was the ringleader of that group.
And what's another name? That's the only name I have.
Oh, there are more names. There were two or three of them.
Oh, really?
And I have to go back. And I have to look at the roster.
Well,
and
good.
I can pick out the names.
We don't have to get the rest. No. Let's do that.
I would love to pick up the roster there. Right. Because they were three times. I don't think Rick Snyder was involved, but I believe one of my students was. And I don't remember his name, too. I have to look over these names to stand out. But, you know, they did a super job of doing that.
Tell us your version of what they did.
Well, my version of what they did is they knew that the faculty meeting in which we were going to evaluate students was coming up. And the version I had is that they had rigged up a microphone which they dropped from the roof down through the window.
The meeting room being on the third floor seminar room.
That's right.
And fourth floor at that time, was that still dormitory space or was that... research space by that time. In any case,
I'm not sure.
They had access to it and they could drop a microphone in. All right.
That's right.
And
they tape recorded
a meeting. Did you ever hear the recording?
No, I never heard the recording.
What evidence do you have that they taped it?
Just the scuttlebutt. the claim that was made that they.
The bragging that went on.
Yeah. Well, that's about all that I remember. But I never heard the tape. I never investigated that. It was Hans or some of the others who picked up on that. And I'm not sure I was chair because I remember sitting in that room. I might have been chair, but I was not at the head of the table. Uh-huh. I was back near the windows. In fact, my back was to the windows during that meeting.
Otherwise, I might have seen something.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you think the mic was outside?
Well, it started outside. I mean, they may have wired it into the room, which I didn't realize. I never saw it. I never saw the thing. I only found out about this afterwards. I guess the students started telling everybody about this, and they thought it was a great joke. And that was the way I found out. But Hans was really put off with this being there. But Levinson did not stick within psychoanalytic theory as a psychologist that I know of.
That's right. You know. Other students?
Well, Rick is the one that stands out the best. And of course, there was John Pless.
Tell me about John.
John was one of those that I really wanted to make an exception for and give him in because I thought he came down one year and interviewed, and
from
Chicago. He was in Chicago at the time.
Okay.
And in fact, I believe at that time, he was working through government-sponsored programs in the deprived, disadvantaged areas. And he had been a psychologist who was in with the, if I'm correct, they were called the Blackstone Rangers. And they had gotten this grant to act as good examples for students in the minority group areas, black students, to show them that they can get ahead of the world by going straight, not becoming crooks and gang members. So they had chosen these gang members to be models, and they were helping the gang members.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, evidently, that group siphoned off a couple $1 million out of that grant. And so anyway, but John came down and interviewed with us, and we offered him an appointment in the department as an entrance to the department. But he didn't, he also was married and had a child and didn't know that he would be able to live on that, and he didn't accept the first year. But then I think he was, when this whole government grant, whole business blew up there, decided he really needed to get into school. And so he came down again, and we said yes, even though his background was certainly a borderline background, different from the other graduate student who was coming in. And but he was a serious student. And I do remember how impressed I was with him in Don Thistlethwaite's research seminar, the first year research seminar. And he was introducing his students to his research in social psychology. And I don't remember much about it because I don't think I ever really understood it. And neither did John. And John had to give a report. I sat in on that class. I wanted to see what was going on in the class, and figured I'd learn something too from sitting in on that class, which I did. I sat in on statistics classes at with the students when Tim came. I sat in on his course, and I sat in on this research course. And John Pless walked up to the front of the room. There was a podium there. He put his arm on the podium and he leaned toward the class, and he started to explain what he thought was what Thistlethwaite's research was all about, you know. And I'm not sure he really understood it, but he was speaking and communicating in a way that I knew and just felt was a natural. This man is a natural. And that's exactly what he became. He went through, he got his degree. We had a couple of interesting interchanges as he, when it came time to do his major area paper, he was doing it on his experience of research in the area that he was interested in with the minority groups. And he wrote it with what you would call black English. It was not whitey's English. It was the jargon of the streets that he was essentially using. And so we went over to the campus
group. Although he could have done otherwise.
He could have done. It would not have been really even then.
Yeah.
But he chose to go in this mood of the streets.
Right.
And so we went to the campus group, sat down, and I said, John, if you want to do your major area paper, in this way I'll support you for the fact that, you know, this is how you want to express yourself. But when it comes time to get a job and to make your way in the field of psychology, I think you ought to learn Whitey's English and do it in Whitey's English. And he looked and he thought about that, and he decided he would do that. And there was a lot to learn. And the person who taught him that was not me, but Donna Tapp.
Wow.
Donna worked with him, worked on his English, on his grammar, helped him tremendously. I helped too, but it was Donna who guided him through the learning of what he would need to do to write and to express himself generally in Whitey's English. Donna has always been, by the way, my copy editor, and every book I've written, I hand her the stuff before it actually goes into print. And that's even after they get through up in New York, she still goes through and makes me understand what might not be understood by my readers. And so she's very good at that. So we helped him through on that, and he became the assistant associate director of the weight management program. He was very effective as a group leader when we had the weight management program in the department there. And then when the money was about to give out and I was about to distance myself from the program, he decided he had to get a job and in academia. To live on soft money, which was basically what we were living on, he was living on soft money and money that we raised, because in part of the program people paid for to be clients in that program. He took a job at MTSU. He rose in the department, became a full professor, won the Outstanding Teacher Award, and they made him a dean at one point. So he's had a very successful career in academia, just retired last year, We've got out to dinner. He's moving up out into this area as soon as he can find a condominium. And he's still, I don't think he's going to continue to go back. He was continuing to go back 1 or 2 days a week to teach a course or two down there even after he retired. But he is another success, and I'm really very proud of his success. And he was just great to work with. He does have a magnetic personality that was his natural gift, and a good, clear way of expressing himself. People just love him. Yeah. So he stands out. And then there was Ruth. I don't remember Ruth's last name now, right on. But a very strange woman, an older woman who came into the department, got herself mixed up with an alcoholic Indian who was in and out of jail. And she finally got through on her degree. Oakley Ray was the one who felt that she should never have a degree, but she did go off as a clinical psychologist on an Indian reservation. And I have not heard from her in a few years, but she is serving in an area that needs service. So in a way, I guess I feel that she's making a successful contribution in an area that's needed. So I remember her. And then there was another young fellow, I need to remember his name, because nobody gave him much credit for being an outstanding intellect, but he was a very hard worker, and he too has distinguished himself in the field. I remember what he looks like, and his name, I missed that.
What area did you work in?
Well, it would have been very much of the same thing I was doing at the time as obesity research. Well, it might have been the last before I got out of the anxiety area, which I did starting around 1976. And that's when the weight management program got started, and we were bombarded with people who wanted to lose weight. And then we had a real empirical measure of our success, how much scale went down. So Ken Walston joined me and a whole batch of students who are doing research on the obesity. Yes, it's been a long time. You know, I've been retired now for 14 years. And in my last few years, starting after the rotation diet, I became very distant from the research in the department. The books were very successful. And I tried to retire, and Vogel wouldn't let me. I had some interesting experiences as a chairman because Wendell kept giving me raises that I felt were completely out of line. And I said, I kept telling him, I'm not worth that much. He said, yes, you are. You're doing a good job as chairman, and that's why I'm giving you those increases. But he was good with everybody. I think, you know, the top people in the department kept up the way they should have kept up. But I didn't feel I was worth exactly what he was giving me as chairman. So Bogley did not want me to retire because those were still the days of the early retirement fund. And I think there should be a fund in the psychology department right now, which is the money I contributed to it. And that was, he kept me on sort of a permanent leave so that I could reach the age of retirement. And then the department would give me the money, even though I wouldn't earn a salary. I would be on permanent leave and still considered on the faculty. And then Vanderbilt would pay me that $150,000 or so than it was, less taxes. And that money, a good hunk of that money, $7,500,000, should be in the psychology department under some line because I turned it over to the department.
There is an annual award, I think, that has your name on it. Are you familiar with that?
Is there?
Is that what they?
I'm glad that then they're using the income from that.
I think that's the case, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't
well, that's
have
fine.
The
facts. I'm glad that they're using it because whenever I make a contribution, it's without strings attached,
yeah.
Unless we come up with
yeah.
You know some broad class
yeah.
or something
mm-hmm.
to do with the money.